Oh no, this man is in his car. We got this. Oh no. Oh man, what is going on, Chris?
Hey man, it's still the off season for me.
My man Chris Haynes joining us courtesy of Charlene's Beauty Supply in Elk Grove, 8694 Elk Grove Boulevard.
Defensive stopper. You know what I mean? I saw him locking up PG over the summer. You know what I mean? Now in Fresno. I saw him locking him up. Made him go left.
What's all this extra swag y'all got on today?
You see him, Chris. I'm just trying to keep up.
It's a money day here around the office, Chris. So we gotta present. We're not all of us are the hottest free agents in the game. So we gotta be on point here today.
We're not all Brock Purdy. You know where we're just making a little bit, but we know. Mm-hmm. The $60 million deal is coming. That's Chris Haynes. Yeah. He know the $60 million deal coming. Chris. You know what I mean?
Man, come on, man. Hey, y'all speaking it into existence, man.
Hey, NBC calling, Amazon calling, ESPN calling. If I could offer some advice, just stay away from the last one because they'll have you work from 6 a.m. to midnight. And they'll just call it one day. They'll be like, oh, Chris got one day here. Like, man, he was working for 17 hours. That's all right.
That's what I'm about to tell Chris. Hey, get your family vacations in right now. Get all that in right now because it's about to get busy.
Chris reaction kind of, maybe we should lay off ESPN a little bit. That's all right. That's all right. We got the letters too. We good. We family. Hey.
Like, glad to be on with you guys.
Hey, let's start with, the league is here. There's a lot to talk about with that. But you was on the Sac State story the other day. Sac State and Golden One, man. Chris, you know, you're worldwide with the NBA. Man, Sacramento was buzzing sports-wise right now.
No, that was a cool – that's a cool gesture, you know. So when it came across my wire – I was like, yeah, I'm going to report this. This is pretty cool. And, you know, I'm going to tell a little funny joke that I got with my brother Mark Spears here in a minute. But, no, I mean, we've known for quite a while the ambition of Sac State and the willingness to want to move to a FBCS conference. And the Pac-12 is the conference that they're eyeing. And they're trying to do everything that they can from the facilities to, you know, generating funds to try to show these conferences that they're a legitimate player and should be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And so you look at what the Sac-12 committee has done already. You see with the football stadium that's in the works, you know, with the NIL funding that they were able to, you know, able to produce in a short amount of time. We're talking about 30-something plus million already for that. And then with the Kings stepping in and offering the Golden One Center, and I want to make this clear. From what I was told, they're offering the Golden One Center for men and women's basketball only, and it would be for availability only. So if the arena is available, that arena will be available for Sac State men's and women's basketball, not volleyball or any other indoor sport. And so they're hoping that this will convince the Pac-12 in particular, but, you know, all those top conferences that Sac State is a legitimate player. Now, as far as Mark Spears is concerned, he's a San Jose State alum. I'm a Fresno State alum. Uh-huh. So we always have this rivalry. So right before I tweeted the news of what Sac State was doing, I sent him a text saying, hey, yeah, San Jose State may want to step their game up. Because Fresno State, we've already made that jump, Pac-12, baby. We left San Jose State right where they're at. And so I told him, like, you want to be a legitimate player, you better look at what Sac State is doing. So that's the little thing we got going on with Spears. But Sac State, they're pulling out all the stops. They're trying to alert these conferences that they're a school that should be taken seriously.
Yeah, and you bring up Fresno State going to the Pac-12, and I think about, because the first thing was, all right, I know, you know, it's great to be in the Golden One Center, but I don't know if they're going to get 18,000 every night, and maybe that may be unappealing to some. But I thought about Fresno State and the Save Mart Center, very nice arena, and it's almost – a little bit like an NBA arena, you know, more so maybe like a Thomas and Mack type vibe, but very nice. Mm-hmm. And you could tell me it probably fits about 14,000-15,000. And they don't always have like a sellout, but it's still good to have, and you have that opportunity.
You're being generous.
See, I was trying to show respect to my people in the 5-5.
Hardly ever do we have a sellout. You're being generous. Hardly ever. You know, they built that arena, the St. Mark's Center. It was like at the height. They started building at the height of the Jerry Tarkanian era. Mm. And so the plan was to, you know, that's when Tark was bringing all those McDonald's All-Americans to Fresno. And it had buzz. Like, we were playing at the Selling Arena. That was downtown. That venue held probably like 10,000, if that. Mm. And so that was the plan. And, you know, then the Tark stuff happened where, you know Tark's history. Mm-hmm. And it just never had that buzz. It's never, like, hardly ever is that arena ever sold out. If it's sold out, it's for a concert, not for a basketball
boxing
game.
They show up so with Jose Ramirez.
With that, yeah. So with that being said, you know, you're talking about Sac State not being able to fill the arena. You know, a lot of times, too, when it comes to these conferences, that players, high-caliber players and fans will come when they get to an elevated conference. Mm. So when you get to an elevated conference and you play in these other elite schools, then that's how you can – the recruiting efforts are much more easier to attract high-level talent, you know, once they know, okay, this is who we're playing. Oh, okay. And this is where we're playing at. So all, you know, a conference shift or a arena shift, a venue shift, that helps a lot when it comes to drawing attraction, whether it's from recruits or, you know, to try to generate more of a fan base. And so I think those things will help.
I think they could get Sacks, they go to the Pac-12, even the Mountain West. I think they could get like the lower bowl filled up at Golden One Center. I think they could do that.
Oh, I think so, too.
The lower bowl. You gotta start somewhere. All right, so hold on. So do you guys remember, were you guys in town when the Monarchs were in town?
Absolutely.
Okay, so do you think if this comes to fruition, if they can get into the Pac-12, and then they're playing their home games at Golden One, do you think they can have a bigger draw than what the Monarchs used to have?
What the Monarchs used to have? Sure, I think it could be equal to. Mm. Yeah, the Monarchs had good. The Monarchs had really good attendance. Mm-hmm. Like that lower bowl, it wasn't sold out on a, you know, a game to game basis, right, but it was regularly full. They had lower bowl sellouts. They had, you know, for certain games, they had Arco Arena sellouts. Mm-hmm. I think Sac State could do that.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. And also, there's probably more of a chance, you know, depending on the schedule, that, you know, you have some NBA players coming dropping in. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of NBA players dropping in at a Sac State game where they're at now.
Right. It's hard to hide at Sac State.
Exactly. So you got much more opportunity for things like that to happen. It could be much more of an engagement. Because, you know, you go to other – you'll see LeBron. I understand it's his son. But you'll see LeBron dropping in to a high-caliber – college, USC, UCLA game. You see that in other regions as well. So, you know, maybe this can start a trend. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Haynes with us here as we shift from Sac State and college basketball to the NBA. Before we get to the Kings and DeMar and everything going on in Sacramento, I want to bring Chris into the conversation we were having over the last couple of days about players that have pressure on them. They have something to prove. Mm-hmm. And like Joel Embiid was a name that came up. And I said, Dame Lillard. And apparently when I left the room, they started a whole other conversation about how I was wrong about Dame Lillard, and Dame Lillard is certified and he's got nothing to prove. And I'm not talking about like Dame proving something to himself. I'm talking about when you know, when you're kind of on the outside and you're examining the league, I'll ask you, do you think Dame Lillard has anything to prove this year in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think he has something to prove to himself, and he's a guy who's motivated off of people belittling his accomplishments up to this point. And I'm not saying that you're belittling his accomplishments, he's definitely up to the task of showing everybody that he's a much better player. He's in better shape going into this season. Last offseason was kind of tough. He didn't know where he was going to go. you know, he, you know, since he had the trade request, he wasn't allowed to go and use the facility like he, you know, like he did for 10 or 11 straight years. And so it just threw his rhythm, off. He was going through things personally, you know, his ex-wife and all that type of stuff. So it took a toll on him. He's in much better shape. All this summer, he was, you know, sending me texts, you know, sending me videos of his workouts and what he's doing. Man, he sent me one video one day, like he was like pushing a truck, like really pushing a truck down the street. And I asked him, I said, how does this translate to basketball? You know?
What'd he say?
He was like, man, just pay attention to what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, my bad, bro. But nah, he's motivated, man. He likes being, you know, the fact that people are talking about the New York Knicks, Boston Celtics, even the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, people aren't saying Milwaukee is one of the top two teams in the East. He loves it. You know, he relishes being an underdog. Last year was his first time ever in his professional career. I wouldn't even say professional career. Maybe his whole entire basketball career, where there was these expectations that if they didn't succeed or reach a certain level, it was a failure. Mm-hmm. That was his first time being in that mode. He's much more comfortable being an underdog, and he feels it right now. But he's excited. He's ecstatic. He's ecstatic to go out there and prove that he's still one of the top guards, arguably the best point guard in the league. So I wouldn't say you were wrong in your assessment. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with that. I don't think Dane would even have a problem with that, but because he knows that last year wasn't his best.
The pushback that I had on that is, number one, it's kind of, and we didn't talk about this name, but it's kind of tough from the guard position to lead a team, you know, to a level that proves that you're a winning player or something like that. You know, Steph is like one of the only ones. Other than that, like, it would be Giannis leading the team somewhere. It's the bigs, it's the wings, things of that nature. So
I think it would be Giannis and Dame, though. I think they're locked together now, which was kind of part of my point.
True, but what I would say is Giannis and Dame can have great seasons. They can do damn near nothing wrong, and it still might be enough because I don't know if they have enough around them. Mm. Like the cupboard is bare, and that's why I say if they don't reach second round or conference finals or something like that, I don't think it's an indictment on Dame or Giannis because middle.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hudson can barely stay off the surgery table. We don't know what Brook Lopez is doing, and we don't know half of the other players on the roster. They might just not be good enough.
Shout out Terrence Davis.
Shout out TD.
Yeah, I like their – I actually – again, Chris Middleton, that's a wild card. Is he going to be healthy? As of right now, he's not participating in 5-on-5 action. I reported that last week before training camp started. But if Middleton can come back and be healthy, I know that's a big if, but if he can come back and be healthy, and if Brook Lopez can still play at the same level he played even last season. Last season kind of tailored off, but still, if he can play at that level, I actually like this collection of talent better than last year's collection. They got Gary Trent Jr. to come in there and like fill that two-guard like spot. Yeah. You can argue, say, make the case that he's an upgrade over Malik Beasley. They brought in Torian Prince, who played with the Lakers last season, and they brought in DeLon Wright, who was arguably one of the best backup point guards in the league. So I think talent-wise, I think they're a little bit more deeper. And, again, with them, it's going to be about health. And not just from Brook and Chris Middleton, Giannis and Dame as well.
Mm-hmm. Chris said something that caught my attention. They're talking about Dame Lillard last year wasn't his best. There's a lot of pressure this year on Kevin Huerter for the same exact reason. Last year wasn't Kevin Huerter's best season. I think there's a lot of pressure on him this year, even with DeMar DeRozan being in Sacramento, to be better than he was last year. And there's something to be said, I think, Chris, for looking back on the last year, whether it's Dame, Kevin Huerter, or any player in the league, that, well, I'm better than that. So there's, you know, there's that, there's the external pressure and the internal pressure to be closer to what I was before. And that's the case, I think, for both Dame and Kevin Huerter.
Yeah. And for Kevin's, from Kevin's standpoint, having a little bit of a reduced role, I think it can help, because some guys get overexposed. And sometimes, like, there's 30, like, I'm not a big fan. Again, I guess I'm not a big fan of change in the first place, but I'm not a big fan of expansion, because I just think there's a lot of bad teams out there anyways. And then you're going to add two more teams. At a certain point, leagues get watered down. And so if you have a lot of teams and you have a lot, you know, you have to fill these rosters up with players, there's going to be players out there that are starting that aren't really starters. You know, they are good players. They're good contributing players, but they get exposed when they have to play a real starting role when they're playing 30-plus minutes, have to guard and defend the best players. When you get put in your place, and I think this season could be a much better season for Kevin, because you're not expecting him to do as much, but you do expect him to be a little bit more efficient in his role as a contributor. You know, so that's where I think Kevin can kind of fall back and play into the role that we kind of envision Kevin playing, being that catch and shoot guy, being an energy guy, running off, you know, coming off of pin downs and flare screens and just causing havoc. And that, you know, he does that well. And so, you know, just being that deep threat and somebody where you're not actually looking for him to score. Like, he might not get his number called. A lot of times when there are players that have their numbers called all the time, the defense can key in on you. And you're kind of easier to defend. But when your numbers are not called like that and you're kind of getting it in the flow, that's when you can really play your game. So maybe I think with the arrival of DeMar DeRozan, and DeMar, one thing about him, his passing ability doesn't get talked about enough. He's a great passer. Yeah. He will find you. So I think it'd be a pretty good fit.
Chris Haynes, free agent Chris Haynes. We don't even have an affiliation right now, but it's coming soon.
Charlene's Beauty Supply.
It's coming soon.
Charlene's Beauty Supply in El Grove.
There we go. There we go. 100%.
Where they can get this do-rag right here.
I need that do-rag, and you know I ain't got nothing for it. I just rock it. It is what it is.
Product placement. Just drop them off for De'Aaron.
Right. So, look, I want to ask you about De'Aaron. We've been talking about him, and one of the things that – we just kind of like look at him and we're not sure like what the issue is. I was listening to a conversation and they were talking about the season and Memphis might come back and Ja be back. And can Ja take, you know, back his mantle as being one of the best young guards? You know, he could have a All-NBA season, first or second team. And they're like, who was he going to beat out? Who does he have to contend with? Oh, Donovan Mitchell and Brunson and da-da-da-da. And they're naming all these guys. And I'm not once De'Aaron Fox. And I'm like, is De'Aaron Fox dead? Like, is this De'Aaron Fox retire? We feel like nationally, he doesn't get thought of the way I think he should. This is a guy that was eighth in the league in scoring last year. And they kind of treat him like he's a bit of a mid-level guy. Is it our imagination, or do you feel like he doesn't get the respect nationally as being one of these true top players in the league?
I think real hoopers respect De'Aaron's game. I think if you're a real NBA follower, you know, analyst, reporter, you know who De'Aaron Fox is and know what he brings to the table. For casuals, they probably aren't going to be up to date on De'Aaron. The market definitely plays a factor. The rise that they've had over the last couple of years has definitely helped, because I think it would have been worse had they not been a winning team. And he's putting up these numbers, and then they're still, you know, you can make the case they should have more national games coming up this year than they do. But with that being said, I think, you know, I hate to say it, but the market probably does dictate, you know, why De'Aaron is not getting the buzz that other players are getting. And it's funny too, because De'Aaron, you know, he's a high flyer as well. And, you know, he'll posterize somebody. He's quick. His game lends itself to being on national highlight packages. For whatever reason, he's not. So, you know, it's going to take, you know, if it's going to take for a team like the Sacramento Kings it's going to take for them to win. You know, to win, to be in the spotlight, so for people to get educated on what they bring to the table. And I think this rise over the last few years has definitely helped, but he definitely deserves more credit than what he's given still.
Now he's got a Hall of Famer joining him, DeMar DeRozan. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since July all this happened. DeMar DeRozan and the Sacramento Kings, what's your thought on that fit?
I like it. I like it. It's arguably, man, I'm trying to think of the Kings' last big free agent.
Probably Vlade.
I know Vlade. Yeah.
Malik ended up being a big free agent, but you know, it's still not.
Yeah,
DeMar.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, you can make the case. All right, this is the biggest free agent that the Kings ever received, and I know he's not in his 20s, but he's still playing at a high level. Mm-hmm. Really consistent. Takes care of his body. Really good locker room guy. I think it's a great fit. You know, when it came on my radar that they were considering, you know, trying to make a play for DeMar, I didn't know how they were going to get it done. So shout out to the front office, Monty and those guys for pulling it off. I like the fit. I know everybody has question marks, I guess I would say, about the spacing. Is there enough shooting in that starting five group? Keegan Murray, I don't know if he said it, but I was told, you know, he gained, I forgot how much. Somebody told me how many pounds.
It was almost certainly 10. It's always 10, yeah. Chris. It is always 10 pounds of muscle.
It's never 7 or that much.
Never. It's 10.
but no, I was told that he put on a little bit more muscle, more pound to be better prepared to play the power forward spot, to be able to slide down there.
Oh, they got him. That's all right. We made it a long time out there in the range. It's all good. It's all good. Welcome to the club, Chris. It's all good, baby. Welcome to the club, Chris. It's all good. He probably getting a call from his new employer right now. Oh, there he is. He back. Hey, he back. That's all right.
My bad, John.
That's a long look. That was a long time to go without a call.
Without a
phone call.
Right.
Yeah. That was a long time to go without a phone call, Chris.
Pay a bill. That was a bill collector. I gotta pay a bill.
Yeah, I got
that's
you.
All it was. I just click reject.
Hey.
But no, I was just saying that it's Keegan sliding over to that power forward spot, much more equipped. He feel like he's much more equipped to play in that type of a role. So I like the move.
Mm.
And look, anytime you got a chance to get a player of his caliber, man, like you got to roll the dice. Mm. And it was cool just seeing how all that came about this summer with DeMar.
Chris, before we let you go, you know, I got to ask you, man, you getting back out to West Sac, man? We never get to play, man. We was on the schedule, and then I think a bunch of people caught COVID. You was gone or you got hurt. I got hurt.
Yeah, bunch of old guys playing basketball, and you wonder why no one can get on the floor.
They had Achilles popping left and right in that league. I said, oh, man, I need to take the season off.
Yeah, we got put out 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to take this season off because you guys know I'm true to my Filipino league out there at St. Patrick's.
No, he is.
I'm true to my Filipino league. I have a league Saturday and a league Monday. And I did do the Sunday, as you know.
Yeah.
But the wife was getting on me because I was missing church or I was leaving church early to go do that. So I had to give one of the days up.
Yeah, get the finger up.
I was doing that. You know what I mean? I got my basketball shorts under my suit.
Right.
Excuse me, sister. Excuse me, sister. Let me slide through. Excuse me, sister.
So a brother taking the season off. I can't do all 3 days. I can't do Saturday, Sunday, and Monday anymore. I'm gonna stay to my Filipino league on Sundays and Mondays, man. Yeah, so I urge you, Kenny, man, come join us in that league, man.
Well, I'm gonna pull out. Did they, is have they met the quota yet? Can they get another brother in there? I don't know.
We make exceptions. Money talks, man.
It's like an overseas women's basketball league. You only have one American. You can't have two. Chris, we appreciate you. Charlene's Beauty Supply in Elk Grove, 8694 Elk Grove Boulevard. Go support our brother and sister out there. Chris, we're excited to see when that announcement drops about where you're going to be, man.
It'll be soon. I appreciate you guys.
Yes, my sir. Man.